October 1st to Advent, and we're beginning looking at seven of the fundamental Christian disciplines, the way that we walk out our faith every day, the way that we follow Jesus with more than just nice feelings or thoughts or intellectual assent, but the way that we follow Jesus with our whole heart, mind, strength, and body, and spirit. And so today we're talking about Scripture, how to read it, how to study it, how to make it part of our everyday lives. If you would please join me in reading Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And God said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Jumping forward to Romans chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 5. Verse 5. The apostle writes, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven,' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss,' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? What does the word say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Amen? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. How then will we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We're going to tag one more reading on. If you could turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, it's past Romans. Let's see how far past Romans it is. I'm not familiar with this particular pew Bible so well that I can just turn right there. I apologize. There we are, 2 Timothy. I've got it printed out, but I don't have it in my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14, that's on page 996 in your Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This is the word of the Lord. We say, thanks be to God. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, we ask that your word would continue to speak, that it would be breathed out by you and breathed in by us, that we could listen, take, receive, and inwardly digest your word, that your word would guide us today and each day. And God, whatever is not your word that comes out of my mouth now, may it fall to the ground like dust, but may your word continue to bear fruit. May it be a seed planted in good soil in the hearts of every brother and sister in Christ in this room and out there listening and joining us through worship. God, we ask that your word would bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. There's three things I want to talk about first, and one from each passage. As Karina said, we're not talking about literally eating the scriptures here. I've shared this before. Every now and then I like to talk about my search for a bulletin cover in good old Google image search, and this one, Ezekiel 3, is, whew, there's some Windows 3.1 clip art out there of a very plain-looking prophet with a giant fork and knife going at it on that scroll. We don't know if this was a miraculous, mystic interaction between the prophet Ezekiel and the Lord, and he really did eat the paper scroll, and it really did taste like honey. That is certainly within God's power. Or if Ezekiel is simply trying to say something about God's word and God's law, and how so often we think of God as this punishing disciplinarian, as this disappointed, distant father in whom we can never truly please or do right by. And the law is just the reminder of all the ways that we disappoint God and that we're naughty and shame, 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 shame. And so for Ezekiel to say that he is tasting the scroll and it's sweet like honey, it's a rejection of that idea. It's a rejection of that paradigm, of this idea that God's law is all about shame, or that we can only disappoint God when it comes to what God would have for us. Ezekiel tasting the scroll, this word of God, and finding it to be as sweet as honey, is a call to us to think about God's word in a totally different way. To think of it as a gift. To think of it as a treat, a sweet dessert that brings goodness and joy and life. God might be disappointed in our sin, but God is never disappointed in us. Much in the same way, the Apostle Paul is writing the letter to the church in Rome, and he is quoting Scripture when he says, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news," right? And Paul is not trying to describe how great the feet are, right? It's a metaphor, right? It's a way of saying even the dirty, nasty, whatever happened to those shoes kind of feet of someone who's run. We picture like the marathon runners, you know, folks who have some pretty gnarled, like maybe the toenails fell off after they ran 26, or ultra marathoners ran 50 plus miles. I know, great imagery, right, today. Paul's, think about what they did before modern shoe technology. They were running in sandals or just barefoot. Think about those toes, okay? Paul is saying those are the best feet around. Why? Because they have carried the good news of God's hope to us. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. In 2 Timothy, there's a word that Paul uses, and in the ESV, it's broken up a little better. It's made into a more fluid English, but you kind of lose the fact that this is a unique word. It's maybe Paul was the first person to write it in Greek. It literally translates as God breathed. God breathed. He says all scripture is God breathed. In verse 16 in our version in the Red Book, the ESV, it says all scripture is breathed out by God. Okay, that's close. But it loses a little uniqueness when it says it that way. Because God breathed, for Paul to use that word in the Greek, he is referencing Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord creates the first human being by forming them out of clay, out of mud, and then breathing his own life, his own spirit into them, right? To say that Scripture is God-breathed is to say that it's inspired, right? Think about the word inspired. What does that sound like? It sounds like aspire, aspiration. It sounds like breathing, right? But it's also more than that. It's inspired in a special way that God himself made us to be. There is a special relationship between us and the Word where God has breathed his very life into Scripture, and God has breathed his very life into us. And even when we are led astray by our sin, even when our sin, our actions, our choices might be disappointing to God, there is still an opportunity for the God-breathed human being, the son or daughter, the brother or sister in Christ, to interact with the God-breathed Word of God in Scripture and to find new life, to find rejuvenation and inspiration. So whether we're talking about honey-sweet paper scrolls or beautiful ugly feet or the very Word of God itself interacting with the very God-breathed people ourselves, we find Scripture to be particularly interesting and peculiar and most notably life-giving. Yesterday, our ministry staff, Karina, Nicole, and myself met with our session, our ruling elders and our clerk of session, and we had a kind of a vision and mission retreat. And this was the first one of this kind that has happened since I became pastor. And it was a really good time of prayer and study of Scripture and just kind of trying to cast forward a new vision, to take a step forward into where God is calling us to go next as a church. And I hope for more. And as I was preparing some of the framework and the outline for this retreat, I wanted to start with Scripture. It's a good place to start, right? Especially you're in a church, you're the pastor, you should probably start with Scripture, right? That's my line of thinking. And so I drew on Genesis 1, 26 through 28, where it says that in the image of God we were created, male and female, we were created, and then God gives us the first commandments to go forth, be fruitful and multiply, to have dominion over creation. And dominion doesn't just mean like, whack, it's mine now. It means, right, to take care of, to cultivate, to have dominion the same way you have dominion in your front yard or your garden or with the creatures that you care for in your life, your pets, your livestock. And then we went to the Gospels and we talked about Luke 19:10 that Pastor Andrew Smith preached wonderfully on a few weeks ago, where Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And we talked about John 3:16. Some of you guys have probably heard that one before. And we talked about Romans 8. And as I was doing this and as I was going through this, I was like, man, these are ruling elders. Some of them have been studying the Bible longer than I've been alive. You know, these people are signed up to help lead the church. They know all of this. They've done all of this before. Are they just going to roll their eyes and say, here we go again, Pastor David trying to reinvent the wheel and have us read Scripture and go with a vision from there? But we divided into groups of three, and we walked through all these passages. We started with prayer, and we had discussion as we read along and listened. And the Word, even though it was the Bible study that I had prepared, the Word spoke to me and to everybody else there in a new and fresh way. There was some new insight for each of us. There was some way that God's Word reached out and grabbed hold of my mind and my heart and their minds and their heart, and suddenly we had a better idea of what God wanted for us, of what God wanted for this church. And so, when it comes to reading Scripture, I want to encourage you. It's kind of like reviewing a lesson that you've already heard before where you think, maybe I don't need to hear this. It's kind of like going to the gym or brushing your teeth where you think, you know what, I did it yesterday. Maybe I don't need to do it today. You need to do it today. Ask the people around you. You need to do it today. That's more for the brushing the teeth than the gym thing. But the gym can be healthy. It's good. Don't underestimate what God can do with his Word in your life. This is the part where you take notes. if you don't have a daily discipline or you've neglected your daily discipline of reading or hearing Scripture, now is the time to take it back up again. Consider this a privileged invitation from the Lord to meet Him in His Word. Romans talks about how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless someone is sent? And also, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? Faith comes by listening, by hearing, by reading Scripture. And so, if you feel like your faith maybe isn't as strong as it used to be, as it was a month, a year, a decade ago, take this as an opportunity to listen anew, to read with fresh eyes, to hear with fresh ears. There's many ways to read Scripture. We'll be talking about this a little bit more as we go through the disciplines. It's important to know that not all Scripture is the same. There are genres of literature in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible written by men and women inspired by the Holy Spirit over 1,000 years of history across different languages and cultures. It's rich, and it's good, and it's true, and it's beautiful. And if you don't know where to start, there are wonderful apps out there. We have a Bible lectionary that's printed in our monthly newsletter that you can access through our website, through our Facebook group, First Pres Family. You can just call the office. We can set it up for you. And there's a number of great apps out there as well. I know most Bible apps have some kind of a daily reading guide. There's great prayer apps that have daily Scripture readings. You could start with Psalm 1. In fact, you did start with Psalm 1 today. Did anybody recognize Psalm 1? Oh, we see some hands shoot up. Wonderful, wonderful. Our call to worship today was most of Psalm 1. So if nothing else, you've read Psalm 1 today. You could read Psalm 2 tomorrow. If you don't know, there are some good disciplines to be doing as you read Scripture, and our sermon note template includes some of them. If you notice, the first thing, the first prompt aside from like the date, the preacher, the Scriptures, it says write down things that stand out to you. So a good question to do, a good practice when you have a piece of Scripture in front of you, let's say a passage, a chapter, is to read it through once. If you have someone else that you're studying Scripture with, you could have them read it aloud to you, take turns there, and then to go back through. And if you have your own Bible, to mark up your Bible with a highlighter, a pen, or a pencil, and to ask God, what do you want to bring to my attention today, God? To highlight different words, different sentences that stand out, ideas, words that maybe you need to take a dictionary and look up, right? It's fun finding words that we don't know and then getting to learn them. So asking God, what stands out here? And if you're listening to the Bible on audio tape, you could listen to James Earl Jones read the Bible to you. That works too. Just take notes as you go. What are some new things, challenging things, surprising things? Next good question to ask, and this is technically from the Lectio Divina, which is an ancient, almost as old as the church practice of listening and studying Scripture, is to ask, what is God saying in this passage? So if Jesus is telling a parable, you could be asking, what was Jesus saying to that original audience? When Jesus spoke this out loud, who was the crowd and what was their takeaway? What did Jesus want them to hear and to understand? When you answer that question, you can then ask, what does God want me to hear today? And that's a subtle distinction between what is God trying to say and what does God want me to hear? Sometimes those might be the same answer. Sometimes it might not. There might be something that's far more specific to your life, to what's happening in your life, than to what the original audience for that passage of Scripture was. Another good question to ask is, what does God want me to do with this today? Again, it could be a subtle distinction, but it might make all the difference in the world. right? The main point for you might be, God wants me to receive his love in quiet prayer today. And then what does God want me to do with that? Is God wants me to invite someone else to receive his love in quiet prayer today. I'm going to make sure that I reach out to someone and share some insight from God's word with them. Maybe it's my spouse, my son or my daughter. Maybe it's my mom or my dad. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone whom I haven't reached out to in months or years that just I want to let them know I'm thinking about them and I feel like God has this word for them. There are many, many ways to study Scripture, but it is always a blessed opportunity. I wanted to talk about the Reformation and sola scriptura and how, you know, as Reformed Christians, as Presbyterians, we believe strongly in the fact that Scripture is the final authority in all of our spiritual matters and all matters of life and death, and that is true, but we are running out of time, and that would be an even longer sermon. So I'll say this. It's one of my favorite pictures. Martin Luther once held up the Bible kind of like this. You guys see that? Does that go a little lower? And even in Martin Luther's time, some of the reformers were viewing Scripture in a way that they'd rejected the church's tradition and authority as being equal to Scripture, which was good. That's true. That's the right choice. But some people go so far as to lift up Scripture to the same level as God. And Scripture is not God, but it is a privileged place to meet God. And in order to prove that point, Martin Luther held up a big Bible like this, with his arms out like this, and thinking about Christmas, thinking about the silhouettes that you might see in a yard at Christmas, what does this look like? A manger. A manger. Scripture is like the manger that holds up the Christ child, right? The Bible is not God, but it is the best place to meet God. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would meet us today in your word, in your spirit. God, we ask that your word for us would indeed be God-breathed. May today be an invitation for us to meet you again in our Bibles. May we open up our Bible or a Bible app tomorrow morning and greet you with joy. May we take on this discipline of reading Scripture for the first time or for the umpteenth time, and God, we ask that it would stick, that we could taste your word and it would be sweet like honey, that we could receive with joy the messengers who bring good news from your word. And Jesus, we ask that we could meet you in your word today, tomorrow, and the day after that. Amen.